Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for sustaining us, for keeping us determined to make it to the very end, and whatever that end may be is only a beginning, which is very exciting and makes us want to come sooner. Father, we thank you, we praise your holy name for this electronic ecclesia, for this ability to be able to use very advanced technologies to touch people all over the place with no understanding of where and who is being touched and where they are. Father, but we just praise you for that because it's a wonderful opportunity. There are so many, probably millions at this point, of people out there on all electronic podcasting technologies worldwide. Very different. A lot of people have made shifts in their careers, lost their jobs, gotten laid off, things like that, and they picked up a microphone and found a way to make a decent living, praise God. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I don't want to see anybody out of work. I don't want to see anybody walking the streets. And if we do see somebody walking the streets, Father, I pray that you will anoint our heart in a special manner that we will turn our car around and go back and help those people without the pride in our hearts to make us look at things and judge them right there in the street because they might be wearing a certain kind of clothing or something, and trying to understand that if we were in the same situation and somebody gave us a good set of clothes, we would wear them as well. Father, we praise you and we thank you for even being able to give. We praise you and thank you for Sammy at Pipes International and our ability to be able to seed into him and into you, Jesus, and into the ministry of what Sammy and Esther and all of the people really that are doing the discipleship evangelism work across Africa, across the central part of Africa. Father, we also ask for a fiery hedge of protection and also link angels to surround all of the people that are a part of Sammy's ministry that had to move away from the M23 gang that had taken over utterly Goma Town with some absolutely horrific and things that you just really can't repeat, horrible things that happened to Christians there. And we just praise you for that supernatural protection and also our ability, Father God, to, through our jobs that you have blessed us with, that we may not like them, but we like the ability to be able to seed into your kingdom and to be able to touch people's lives and help people like Pipes International. .org and help other people, just help fellow Christians that are having a hard time or don't have enough money to get the heat turned on if that's what they need or whatever the case is. We just thank you for our ability through you to be able to touch other people's lives and to be able to spend that extra time in prayer, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and praying for all of those that we know and love and care about, and even those that are in other countries that are under attack, bombs, just terrible, horrible mines from minefields. It's unspeakably horrible, the things that are happening around the world. We know they're going to get worse, Father, and we just pray in Jesus' name that we are there for you through the power of prayer to pray down your angels of protection upon each of them, that they would even stand in the spiritual realm and yank from the hands of darkness upon their death and bring them before you, Father God, that they would have one last moment to take Jesus into their heart. And who wouldn't? You are merciful forever and ever, and we praise you for it. Father, please count us all worthy to escape all these things. that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, at the wedding supper. Praise your holy name. Well, praise God. So it's kind of funny. I was just thinking while I was crinkling up my energy drink can, I forgot that I left the mic on, and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I just broadcasted the crushing of a, what do they call that? Pure energy something something from Rockstar. But it has, it's good for people that are trying to do keto because they use a, I think it's like a xylitol or erythritol as their main sweetener, and has very low glycemic index and all that kind of stuff. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So, real quick. Thursday, I was going to do a show. Friday, I was going to do a show. Yesterday, I was going to do a show. You know, folks, there, all I have really is a splattering of stuff from like every possible different compartment you could imagine. I mean, or let's just say topic focus matter. And some of it's pretty cool, and some of it's very interesting, very exciting, keeps us on the edge of our seat. It ought to. And we need to, and I think it's important that we all hug up to these things. These things should be at the first and foremost of our mind. You know, keep your mind stayed on things above and not on things of this world. Praise God. And that's where we want to walk our walk. Hallelujah. So anyway, let's just refer to this as a type of a potpourri show, really. I don't like them. I prefer things would move along. Yes, I hear so many of you writing me emails and text messages and telling me, I can't take it anymore. When is this stuff going to get started? This is absolutely crazy. Would somebody please? And you know what? I totally relate. You know, when somebody else needs to release the pressure cooker valve a little bit, you know, then we get the chance to be holy unto them and listen to them vent. Because sooner or later, we're going to need to release the pressure valve ourselves. You know, whether we're standing alone in a room or whatever we're doing, reading a book and saying, oh, I can't believe this is still happening, or whatever, a periodical. So anyway, yeah, we're in a, I don't like it. I know that other people vehemently do not like it either. You know, who wants to sit around for 14 years? And again, yes, here, maybe this is a little bit of steam coming out of my own pressure cooker, but imagine for 14 years having prophets, visionaries, dreamers, scriptures, Bible leading us, every little piece that you could ever ask for, and empirical evidence associated with the things that are happening across the world, lining up with the Bible and fulfilling Bible prophecy. And to be sitting there for 14 years and taking one gigantic biblical end times event after another and saying, this got to be it. This has to be it. But for doing it for 14 years. So it's fascinating because if I go back to like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever the case is, and I look at the portfolio of things that I held dearly to my heart, and I said, look, if this is happening and this is happening and that is happening and this is happening all at the same time, there's only one thing that can be coming up next, the rapture. So what happened was over the years, the Lord toned it down, if there is a such thing. He toned down my exuberance, grabbing a hold of every single event and saying, it's the rapture tomorrow. Get your rapture jammies ready. Let's, you know, that kind of thing. Because I did. Because I really believe from the very bottom of my heart that that's exactly how close we were. I would never have done it deceptively or, you know, for the sake of humor or whatever the case is. I did it because I truly believed it. But you know, as the Bible says, lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. God, the Lord can't teach you. You can't sit in a room. Just to give you one example, it's one of my favorites. You've heard it before, I'm sure. You can't sit down at a table of really good Christians, wherever you may be. I'm not going to say you're at a church or whatever. You're just happen to be together and you're sitting at a table. And it's a mixture of different Christians. You can't sit down with that group of Christians and say to them, did you know that John, 10, oh goodness gracious, which one is it? Matthew, Mark. Hold on a second here. I'm going to pull up. I was prepared to do a potpourri show. What I was not prepared to do was a scripture review. I could just summarize it. So where it says, and I think it's John 10:30, but no, that's not it, because that's where it's I and the Father are one, and things are just... Okay, so I'm going to skip this. The reason why I'm making a shift is because my computer is not responding very well. I don't know why, and it could be an attack from the devil, and that's fine. I'm used to those. After a while, it's just like Smith Wigglesworth when the devil stood at the very bottom of his bed in a hotel room, and he heard some noise, I guess, or something, and he sat up in his bed and he looked at the foot of his bed and then he saw Satan standing right there. Well, Smith Wigglesworth looks at him and goes, "Oh, it's you." And he flops right back down on his pillow and goes back down. He falls right to sleep like a baby. That's how we really all should be in our walks, but we're not. So part of the sanctification process is to grow in Christ, to become more, I don't know, supernatural, more unlike the fleshy part of us that haunts us, you know. So anyway, what I'm going to do is, instead of hunting and pecking around for scriptures that I was, you know, wanted to breeze over, sometimes they're crystal clear and it's like, oh, John 10:34, which I think is actually the scripture I was talking about. But you can't sit down at a table of Christians and randomly said, did you know that Jesus looked at a bunch of Jews and various people and he said to them, have I not said ye are gods, or in your law that you are gods and the law cannot be broken? All right. Well, you look at their faces and you're going to lose everybody at the table. They're going to be like, Jesus said what? Where is this? You know, and it will cause hate and discontent and frustration, and people will be like, well, this person's really lost it, that kind of thing. What it is, it's a scriptural opening, a doorway to a whole universe of understanding about the awesomeness of God and the awesomeness about who we are in Christ, ruling and reigning over all of eternity. Oh my goodness, what are we ruling and reigning over? That's so cool to even consider that for eternity. So our opportunity that has been laid before us to put up with the things we have to put up with, to be disparaged, talked bad about, all the other things, you know, being shoved into a position in life where you really don't even want to leave your house. You don't want to talk to nobody. You know, if there's a few people that, you know, that you can talk a little bit openly to that know enough, you know, you can go to Applebee's, have a hamburger, talk and everything. That's kind of fun. But as far as, you know, going to a large group of people, sitting down at a potluck dinner, being able to have any kind of flow in your part, contribution to the conversation, it is probably just not going to happen, because we are excited. You know, let's just pull some wild numbers out of the air. I could argue, and it's just an argument, that we are so we got the base number, 8 billion. Okay. 8 billion people. That's our base. And I would submit that those who know the things that we know and believe the things that we believe, even if we have a margin of error, which all human beings will always have, we most likely make up about 0.00001% of that 8 billion. As a matter of fact, it's probably less than that. It's probably more like 0.000001%. It's a very small number of people. Now, does that mean that somebody who has very little understanding isn't going to do well in the kingdom? And the answer is no. And I could just rattle off, you know, you got the workers in the vineyard. There's always opportunity for Everybody doesn't have to grab a podcasting microphone. Just helping people out. Seeing somebody in a line at Walmart that can't pay for their groceries and giving them $20 or giving them $40 or something. Or just whipping out your credit card and just paying for their entire, basket. And let me tell you, there's no better blessing than that. You will feel good for like a week plus. Nothing, especially a Christian that has Christ living in us, when we do things that we would never have done before Christ lived within us, then we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that it is Jesus in us that gave that money to that person to buy those groceries. And the overflowing emotional thing that just comes over you when you do things like that, it's life-changing. It's very, very exciting. So there's that, and then, of course, there's our prayer power. Our Father covets our prayer power very, very much. Isaiah 43:25. That's just one of a gazillion verses. But the point here is, it was from the beginning of creation, but before God, said, talking about, created the universes, okay, created the dimensions. And how long of a period of time did these types of creations span over? A million years? A week, a day, what? They planned all this out. Part of the plan was that the kingdom of God would respond. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven as well, would respond to the power of our prayers through Christ. So we, through our power that comes from Christ in us, we move mountains, which is what Jesus used as the, quintessential example of faith. But the point is that dynamic between us and our Heavenly Father, the heavenly office of God, the, planet heaven and the whole operation of 420 elders and all the things that they have, and they've got to be on a completely different, their timing is way different than us. So I'm not going to get into that because we're all chomping at the bit to get off this alien demon planet. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, we're stuck with it for now. We got to watch keep on watching. Jesus said, watch ye therefore. He wasn't asking. He didn't say, oh, you're tired and weary and you want to watch that old episode of Bewitched. No. I mean, we're commanded by Jesus to, do stuff, to be, to watch, but to also to touch other people's lives through loving kindness and good works, and also to give money to ministries in different places where it will help the gospel to spread, and especially our prayer power. Praise God. So anyway, on that note, let's go ahead and start punching through this never-ending, it is one big old list of stuff that came in, but unfortunately, it's not like, I always like it a little bit better when it's more connected. When I can say, okay, Russia has officially torn up the peace agreement, walked out of the room, told Donald Trump he's, off his rocker, and that's canceled. And then right at the same time, jets are flying over Iran, and there's some bombs that are going off over there. And things are starting to ramp up. But there's interconnectivity. You still get the activity with Yemen shooting missiles into Israel. We still got the aircraft carriers and the United States Navy on force, over there fighting against Yemen. So that's never calmed down anymore. The only reason it's calmed down to us is that phenomenal amounts of it are not making it into any news media that we have access for. We have to sit there and stare at Telegram for hours, hoping that somebody over in Lebanon or something filmed a video. And they're blocking all this stuff, too. So the censorship is electronic. The censorship is people. The censorship is horrible. I don't even know how many. Thousands? Thousands of radio shows have been taken down, eliminated. They'd have like maybe 500 videos, and they've been doing this news segment thing, and then they say one or two bad words, and all of a sudden, bam, their entire YouTube channel disappears, their entire whatever channel disappears. There's some that have figured out clever ways to be able to talk about forbidden subjects that have survived by moving around. I can tell you that Whitney Webb actually moved out of the United States to continue her work because, you know, her life was being threatened, even being here. So she said, okay, well, I'm going to continue. This is my job. This is my work. This is what I do. So she picked up and moved to another country, which she doesn't say on any of her shows. Okay, praise God. All right, anyway, on that note, let's go ahead and pound our way into this very, very diverse collection of some connected, some not connected, but stuff, potpourri, if you will, of stuff that we're forced to watch for, look at, analyze, whatever the case is, to try to plug it in to the 3,000 piece puzzle set on our card table. We want to complete it. We want to have an understanding of when we're leaving. Now, day or hour, no way, but the way we're looking at things right now, it looks like we're really just the pull of a lever away from going. It really does. All right. So anyway, all those pieces we're going to touch upon a little bit. It's not going to have the normal flow where it seems all interconnected, just on account of that this has been a down week. I'm not saying the week has been a bad week. I'm just saying that as far as news is concerned, as far as the type of news that indicates that we are leaving, that the rapture is extremely imminent. I'm talking about like in a week or two. See, once the war starts, and that's a really hard thing to define, so that's also very frustrating. But once the war starts, because you could say it started a long time ago. But when the war is truly the war, and I don't know what marker that is, I don't know what the trigger, what trigger event has to happen for our Heavenly Father to say, all right, World War III has started. You know, we don't know. So that's going to make it a little bit complicated. But once World War III gets started and that UFO shows up in the sky, we're going. We're leaving. And that could happen anytime now. So we are definitely on call. Okay. And it's very exciting. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we plow through all this stuff. It's and jump around. So hopefully you can stay focused as much as possible. So God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
Wrong. It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
All right, praise God. All right, so I'm going to have to give me a second here. I never seem to prepare properly enough. There's always something like my phone volume level right now. I have to put it on Do Not Disturb or it'll just sit the whole radio show long. You're going to be hearing plink, plink, ding, plink, 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 plink. Because when you're in my situation at the hub of the spoken wheel configuration of believers that do listen to this program, they don't change. So if they're working with Facebook Messenger, that's where they stay. They will not leave Facebook Messenger. If their house was on fire, they would not leave Facebook Messenger. And you can apply that to everything. Any type of electronic communications medium or application that is out there that allows people to talk to one another, people will latch on the one that they like and they will stay there. What that means is people like me, who have a lot of people asking me questions and stuff, praise Jesus, I have to adopt to them. I have to go on their Facebook Messenger, even though I don't use Facebook at all. I have to go there and talk to them on their telephone. Okay, they're using Facebook Messenger, and if I want to respond to them, I got to have it. What that means is that I have everything on my phone. You name it, I guarantee you I have it because I use it to talk to different people, praise God. And it's an immeasurable blessing. It's absolutely beautiful thing. I love to be able to help people. It's the whole reason I do this stuff, and have been for as long as I have. All right, I just, you know, like I've said before 1,000 times, just wish it would speed up a little bit. Sometimes, it, you know, we're going to lull us into a type of, I don't know, a coma or something here if it doesn't speed up. We've had all kinds of things happen. We had... So Klaus Schwab, originally it was flying around the internetosphere like crazy. Klaus Schwab and the Pope, both being 88 years old, and Schwab retiring, the Pope dying. All right, and then it came out, oh, about 4 or 5 hours later, it came back out that, oh, no, no, you folks are wrong. Klaus Schwab was only 87. So everybody was trying to come up with some kind of a mathematical reason why this is a precursor. You know, it's worse than, a biblical blood moon tetrad and all that other, you know, kind of stuff. So we had all that going on. We had also, as everybody ought to know by now, I would expect, unless you're really locked down, which... doesn't sound bad at all to me, actually. That Pope Francis had died. Now, I can tell you, because I've received the communications from a vast array of people all over the world, and there are all sorts of people out there. I'm not naming any names, but a lot of them have been given to me. Their personal theories about who's the last pope, why they didn't think that Francis was the last pope anyways, and what's going to happen next, and blah, 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 blah. You know what? I learned a long, long time ago that these are unwinnable arguments, and you will never be satisfied. You'll be like, but Frank Smith says, and then I'll be like, but did you hear what Michael Warnke said? Next thing you know, what you got is you started out with what looked like a really good tomato bisque soup, but then somebody threw a kumquat in there. And then another person tossed in a handful of strawberries. And then a lemon falls from the sky in your soup. And all of a sudden, you don't have anything that even slightly resembles. And you can't sort it out either. You get all these notions in your head when you let go too quickly. And that's what happens all the time. What happens all the time is people let go way too quickly. I can mention the names of church pastors that are very famous worldwide that have come on Tribulation Now's radio show and gave us Bible scriptures and explained to us why Obama is the Antichrist. Well, as soon as Obama seemingly started to coast away from public enemy number one, you know, right in our face, everybody let go of it. They forgot about it. Our attention span is like a squirrel. It's unbelievable. I'm like that little doggy that, you know, whatever. I'm not real big on yip yip dogs, but I'm just saying one thing that they definitely have going on is when they bite onto your socks and your ankle, they mean to stay. Okay? And I'm a lot like that, okay, when it comes to certain things that the Lord has shown me. Somebody can say, but you know, give me 100 different reasons why they don't agree, and they think this, you know, and they think Donald Duck is the Antichrist, they think that SpongeBob SquarePants is the false prophet and all this other stuff. I personally am focusing on going home. So while I do find it interesting, I don't get a bee in my bonnet over it. I don't get, let's talk this through. Come on, let's have a big Zoom conversation and get all of our ideas out there so we can reason who the false prophet. You know what I'm thinking to myself? No, I'm thinking, y'all just go ahead and have your knockdown, drag out, biblical scripture, never-ending enchilada of mush and try to figure out what you're never going to figure out, because you won't know and nobody will know, and you'll all walk away from the table thinking what you originally thought when you arrived at the table, which is exactly how it works. Okay. All right. So all that being said, I'm focused on when are we leaving? Let those 30, 40 people in the back of the room go ahead and fight it out over who the, you know, was it the final pope and who's going to be the false prophet and what's going to happen when this, and oh my goodness, that changes the possible meanings of Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. I'm just flipping out over here, and they're going at it and going at it, and I'm thinking to myself, do you have your priorities in order? You have any idea how close we are to just going like, whoosh, and then there we are in absolute unbelievable glory, where the grass and the flowers and the trees, even the rocks and under the brooks and all that is like alive and singing, and your pets can talk just like in the Book of Jubilees. I mean, it's just unbelievably amazing, and they're all there with you, and you're, and people that are, you will have people come up to you in heaven that you have never seen before. As far as you're concerned, they are a stranger. But they will run up to you like they have known you for millennia. And they will hug on you and say, I have missed you so bad. I love you so much. I can't believe. I'm so happy you're back now. Now, do I believe that our memories are all going to eventually come back? There have been some very believable testimonies of where we have to get rid of our soul scars, which are remembrances of sin, by taking baths in the Crystal River. It's a cleansing purification process that helps to raise the level of glory that we have. But these things are very, very exciting. When you get, you know, why would somebody that you seeming, or a group of people that you seemingly have no idea who they are, come running up to you and start hugging on you and in tears, crying, and so happy to see you again? Well, now we get into pre-existence. Don't even get me going on the elect. My sister was on the phone with me yesterday, I think it was. But anyway, she was reading something out of Romans 8. And she says, this kind of sounds like, you know, there are certain Christians that are privileged in a way in comparison to certain privileged that are not, you know, certain Christians that become Christians, but were not as, you know, she was seeing the disconnect. And I told her, I said, good job. I said, now, I'm going to take everything that you just said, I'm going to roll it up like a nice piece of cookie dough, and I'm going to start adding chocolate chips to it, okay? And I'm going to knead it a little bit, and I'm going to take it and toss it back over to the wall to you. But that's all I'm doing. If you don't like it, you can take the chips out, all right? And my sister goes, okay. And I said to her, all right, so you're seeing a disconnect there. Doesn't the natural assumption of the meaning, doesn't it indicate that the elect are a special group and that not everybody on the earth are part of the elect? And she paused and she goes, yes, it does. And so I let it drop at that point, because when I am on that part of the dental floss stretched across the, Grand Canyon, it's you know, wind battered and frayed. Okay, when I'm at that point of the conversation, it's time for me to just go ahead and say, isn't it a lovely day out here? I just love it. Oh, I can smell the daffodils and it. Oh, it's just amazing. You know, you got to get while the getting is good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Kids, are you ready? Yeah! All right, kids, I'm going to see if I can find some jokes for you. All right, well, doggone it, right in the middle of the kids' jokes, I got the doggone audacity clipped off on me. All right, so anyway, I'll probably cover that one. I'll probably repeat myself and just go ahead and do that one another time. Praise Jesus. All right, so anyway, I'm going to read this. This is from, I'm just going to jump around. It's going to seem very not congruent, and unfortunately, that's just the nature of this segment. Not much is going on. It's boring, quite frankly. I used to be riveted when I went through my finely tuned Twitter feed, but right now I look at it and I'm thinking to myself, okay, there, I must have 100 different individuals that I'm following right here in this view, and I spend an hour and a half doing it, and I discover three things, which, by the way, are not that interesting at all. And I'm like, three things? Anyway, so, yeah, it's enough to make you just want to start going. That's how I feel. But I'm sure you do, too. We're all in this together. Just remember, we are not from here, and we are not staying here. That is very, very important.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
All right, got us right back on track. All right, so in a disastrous event, we'll remove your leader from office. So this is a follow-up prophecy from Wings of Prophecy. to the one that I read from April 23rd, which said essentially that Donald Trump would be removed and things would get pretty bumpy for us. Now, of course, I would naturally mention that prophecies, dreams, visions, even scriptures will blend across the scope of time that they are wedged within. What that means is that these prophecies are true, but not necessarily true for every single group of Christians. Those who leave on the barley harvest might miss some of this stuff, might not be a part of it. The problem is we don't know precisely when these things are going to happen in the biblical end times timeline. So it always keeps us on our toes. But the one thing we must never do is to get discouraged, because that discouragement means that you haven't considered that maybe you're not even going to be here for some of the things in these prophecies. But nevertheless, these do merit being read, because the ones that aren't talking about the things that we know are inevitable are not really edifying us. We need to be on our game. All right, praise God. So this is from April 24th. Glenda Lomax, and it says, further into wickedness. So as if the one prior to it wasn't wicked enough, we need to go a little further. So anyway, it says, my children, a disastrous event will remove your president from office. Now, that's interesting. A disastrous event. What is that? Will remove your president from office. A plan is already in place. Which has sounded more and more like Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland. My goodness, is it sounding like that. A plan is already in place to turn the nation back around the way that it was headed before, you know, with Obama leading the fake Joe Biden and then drunken Kamala, the harlot Harris. All right. So anyway, the new leader will hate all who profess the name of God or Jesus, and will begin to institute laws against them, encouraging others to join in the hatred. Now, that's already underway under Trump. So make no mistake, there are people being thrown into jail. There are people being kicked out of the country. There's all kinds of things. You don't want to say anything bad about you know who. All right. And by now, if you've listened to the show at all, you know what SOS means. You know what, you know a little bit about the history of the Khazarians. You know a little bit, just enough, the Babylonian Talmud, the kinds of things that it says, who believes what. If you don't know these things, then you're going to have a very difficult time understanding how to pray. God treasures those of us who know how to pray. When we know what's wrong, we can call the angels, the warrior angels, down, and we can have them injected right into the midst of the conflict, right where they can do the most damage and stop what's unholy. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and it goes on to say, it says, this is the beginning of the great persecution. So what's right, we're ricocheting back, we're looping back to the great persecution that will usher in the homecoming of many of my people. Now, this, you know, troubles me because... Okay, for example, most people go like, oh, this is wonderful. It's talking about the homecoming and we're going to heaven and all this other stuff. This is ready. It even says heaven is being made ready for you. Do not fear to speak my name or know that I will carry the pain of those who are martyred for my name's sake. You will soon be here with me. What you have to understand, and this is kind of scary, I admit it, like 4 years old, 5 years old, playing around in on 39 Running Road, Hummelstown, PA, if I got a little nick, you know, if I stubbed my toe and I saw blood, I went running home to my mom screaming bloody murder because I had to go to the hospital. I need to have my foot amputated. I didn't know what I wanted. All I knew is I saw blood and it was a terrible, horrible thing. I was dramatic. Very dramatic. So anyway, when I read things like this, it troubles me because the scripture says, indeed, Jesus said it rains on the just and the unjust. And then you have Isaiah 57:1, one of my favorites, where it says, the righteous perish, but no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. So it's important to... It's a little nerve-wracking to get, let's put it this way, a prophecy such as this, where it says the beginning of great persecution that will usher in the homecoming of many of my people. Now remember, also that Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I was a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, screaming bloody murder, the whole neighborhood could hear me. My mom's like going, freaking out because she's like, you know, it was just, because they're so dramatic. Now, can you imagine when I read the Bible and it says, I think it's like in Hebrews or something where it's talking about our brothers and sisters from, you know, days gone by, you know, had these kind, they suffered these kinds of persecutions, and one of them was being sawn asunder. I'm like, I don't want to be sawed in half. So, you know, it's really hard for us to wrap our hearts and minds around the possibilities of these things. People will say all kinds of things, and there's this part of me that just wants to say, do you think Peter liked being put on a cross upside down? So it is possible that we're going to see. I really hold on to the meaning of the words in the Bible. And I will look at multiple, many translations, and the Greek, and the Hebrew, and lexicons, and commentaries, and everything else under the sun to be able to zero in on what that's actually supposed to mean. Now, I already have my hunch what it's supposed to mean, but I like to confirm it sometimes, get some different opinions. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to recognize that these prophecies are just sweeping across a very large period of time. And just like when you read in Matthew 22, I think it's the fourth verse, I believe. If it's not, it's the verse right next to it where it says, and then the king sent out other servants. And when he sent out the other servants, okay, because the barley harvest had already done the best he could do. When he sends out the other servants, which are going to become part of the wheat harvest, they met with mass. I'm paraphrasing. Massive persecution. So the other servants that were sent out met with massive persecution, horrible persecution. It even says they killed some of them. So anyway, I'm just believing with all of my heart that the Bible is literal for the most part, with a few very small exceptions, and that when he said pray always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, you know, I looked at the Greek. The word all is absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt. It is there, and it means all. So why, if we are to escape all these things, can we not aspire to escape all these things? Did you escape all these things if they put a big old saw across your tummy and cut you in half? No. You didn't escape all these things. All right, so that implies clearly to my heart that if we do have that as a possibility in our evacuation plan, then we should be leaning in on that prayer and doing everything that we can, possibly can, to eliminate anything that's impure before God in our lives, how we think, how we pray, how we spend our days, you know, all that kind of stuff. Praise God. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you and just get you on track with that particular prophecy, because there's a lot of other stuff that is not as important as, there's varying levels of importance associated with some of the information that I'm providing. So anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Also, I wanted to share with you, and this is that for those of you who are familiar with the David Doetry vision that God gave him of the rapture, evidently spent, the impression that I get in my heart, but I don't know the exact number of years, but I think it was something like more than 10 years on his knees, beseeching God, oftentimes I'm sure in tears, please show me the rapture, please show me the rapture, please show me. This guy lived like an hour south of me, had him on a radio show 2 times. But anyway, since then he's gone on to be with the Lord. I wish I was with him. I wish I was hanging out with him and Tom Horn and setting a table and doing whatever I can do and putting Andy's candies down on everybody's seats and little placards, you know, and doing some fun stuff and switching some around, like, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to use... I could turn it into a pretty funny joke, but I'm not going to do it because it's going to detract from the time that I have left to be able to share with you some of these things. Okay, I wanted to make a note to you, please, that Nostradamus was convinced that his predictions would not be deciphered by his contemporaries, so he left us a series of clues to be found when he wished. For Nostradamus, the beginning of World War III is closely related to the appearance of a UFO in the sky. No joke. So if you are familiar with the David Deutsch vision, God finally gave him the vision of the rapture, and the first thing he saw was a large copper, large like a giant Death Star spherical copper spaceship. He said he could even see rivets, you know, it was metallic, etc. And, how can it get any better than this? Somebody like Nostradamus from hundreds of years ago saying that tying World War III with the appearance of a UFO in the sky. Come on, this mirrors almost exactly what David Deutsch saw. This is really, really important. Now I want to go ahead and play for you this little snippet. This is Mark Levin. I never really liked the guy. Okay, but it doesn't matter. I wouldn't listen to him anyways. All right, but this is Mark Levin. Accepting a reward or something like that at the White House. He's standing beside Trump and whatever, Ivanka and all this creepy weirdness. But I want to play for you this, what Mark Levin actually says in front of everybody. Listen to this.
It's an honor to be here with the first Jewish president of the United States.
Trump is smiling ear to ear.
And if he isn't, very proud. He should be. It's an honor to be here with the first Jewish president of the United States.
All right. So anyway, I wanted you to hear that. I'm not going to make a commentary on it because Salvador don't sound good to me. Okay, so, but it was said publicly, and Trump was smiling ear to ear while it was being said. There was no denials, no nothing, whatever. So again, good to know. Definitely chalk it up to the list of end of the world things that are happening super duper fast. All right, praise Jesus, hallelujah. So let's see here. Oh, so what was brought back to my recollection when I was studying, I wasn't really studying it, I had a break during work, and I caught a video, and the video was talking about the relationship between, it was actually a clip. If you search on youtube.com for Walter Veith, V-E-I-T-H, and you type the Islamic and Catholic connection, okay, the Islamic and Catholic connection, watch that video. It's only about 90 minutes long, and it will blow your mind. See the name Set and Shiva? See, all these different names. All these different names. All of them. That have been used to represent Osiris, all that kind of stuff. Moloch, Baal, all that. They all mean the same thing. Even in the Holy Bible, Satan is called Lucifer. He's called the devil. He's called, the beast. He's called the dragon in 12 of Revelation. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It never ends. Makes it tricky, doesn't it? Well, back, I forget when the actual date of this was, and I'll take a peek at it and see if they put the date on the front. And unfortunately, when I blow it up, yeah, I can't. It appears to be approximately 2009. It's a Newsweek magazine, and it has a picture of Obama with all of his arms spread out. He has a total of 6 arms, and he's holding the world in a helicopter and money and everything you can imagine. His hands with his leg up in the air. It is a perfect mock-up of the Indian Vedic text god known as Shiva, and Shiva is known as the destroyer. Shiva is also another name for the devil. All right, so these things are important for, otherwise we're just simply not going to make the connection. If you can't look at this Newsweek magazine cover with Obama on it and say, oh my gosh, they're simply holding him up in front of the entire world and saying, hey, he's the devil. Okay. which would essentially be the Antichrist. And has this all been consummated so far? You know, when you see what Daniel the prophet prophesied, you know, as Jesus had told us all about, I mean, my goodness, you know, you'll see the abomination standing in the holy place. What's the holy place? The holy place is the temple of God. It is the body, the human body. It doesn't matter what you believe in, how unholy you are. It's still the holy place. All right. Well, when the abomination of desolation moves inside of that body, look out. And that's right around the corner for sure. It's just amazing. And then this weird guy comes out. Did you know the Star of Islam is made up of two squares, and they're tilted. One is tilted at a 45 degree angle, and then it's juxtaposed over the top of the other square. And it makes what's called the Star of Islam, which is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pointed star. Interestingly, when you take two triangles and do the same thing, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's a 6 pointed star. Okay. I have a book behind me written by a man by the name of Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, called The Six-Pointed Star. He is a Semite, a true Semite, and he was troubled over the whole connection with the Balfour Declaration and the involvement of the Rothschilds and yada, 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 yada. And, well, he did all the homework. And you know what the conclusion was? It was the Star of Molech. Now, I'm just sharing this with you. And then, in the middle of last week, this guy comes out. Everybody's throwing it all over the internet. It's unbelievable what's going on. This guy comes out and says, "I am Abdullah." And he's like doing some freaky thing.
"I am Abdullah, the successor of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, the successor of the Comforter Ahmed, the successor of Simon Peter, the successor of Muhammad, the successor of Jesus Christ. I am the true and legitimate Pope. I am the proof upon the Christians. I am the son of the Muslims through my father, and the son of the Christians and the Jews through my mother. I am the son of the East through my father, and the son of the West through my mother. I am like Zulkarnain, who with one horn in the East and one in the West, and I am the inheritor of all that lies between. I am more knowledgeable than any false Pope, and I am appointed by name and the will of the prophets. My name is also on the tongue of Isaiah, who prophesied of the righteous servant, and he said, 'He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand.' I am Abdul."
Did you just hear that? I mean, are you kidding me? And there are people on X, okay, forwarding back to everybody going, "I think we're all seeing the Antichrist. It's the Antichrist." I'm like, I'm not kidding you. It's absolutely unbelievable. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and take a little snapshot of this because this will come in handy. It says, "I am Abdullah." Blah, 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 blah. Oh, good grief. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that Jesus warned us about. He said, you know, I always, you know, tongue in cheek say, "Here, Jesus, there, Jesus, everywhere, Jesus, Jesus. Do not follow after them," he warns us. Oh, so many people. There's only so much you can do, though. We just keep on going. Just keep on going. Just like they did. Just like they did when Jesus was walking amidst them. If people won't receive, you keep on going because there's plenty that will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So I got this communication from Qatar, from our special correspondent located in Qatar. And I will just let you know his first name. I'll refer to him as Brian. His last name starts with a P as in Papa. But anyway, I'm going to give you the update. The update goes as follows. It goes, so, as Gomer Pyle says, surprise, surprise, surprise. Not, which he's right, it's not a surprise. All right, just another plan that was pre-planned to start another plan. Laugh out loud. I'm actually seeing, you know, I'm comedians from the 30s and stuff like that. Anyway, it goes on to say this. The United States has deployed an armed B-52 Stratofortress aircraft into India. The aircraft landed at Jaipur, India, after taking off from Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. Hours earlier, aircraft from Israel also landed in India. India has issued readiness notifications to all governments and hospitals near Kashmir. And Iran is encountering numerous fires and explosions. So these are SOS related. Know what SOS means? Synagogue of who? To provoke Iran into making the first move, since the GCC and the other countries do not want a spanking from Yemen. What better solution than to have the Israelis, the U.S. bombers attack Iran and their friend and SOS and ally in Israel, the sneaky, creepy entities? Well said. A steel plant miles away has now gone up in flames, he says there in the local Qatar area, as the Bandar Abbas Electric Generation Station, also miles away, is affected. Tonight, miles away from all the other situations, the Persian Gulf Star Refinery is now also burning. It is the largest gas condensate plant in the entire Middle East. It has processing capacity of roughly 360,000 barrels of gas condensate, which I don't know what that is exactly. Condensed gas is what it sounds like. Okay, a day since it became fully active in 2018. Hold on to your reins, partner. The bull's about to get loose from the pen. And all I know what to say about that is, right? I mean, you know, or this.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're frickin' interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it, make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not frickin' humans.
Sounds like you got a little worked up. That sounds like me when I... sorry, the thing cut off. I got to put a turkey in the oven because my daughter promised for 5 days in a row that she'd stop by the house and grab a turkey. They gave me an extra turkey from Instacart. I didn't want it. I didn't have room to freeze it or nothing. And now I'm stuck with it because my daughter does. She's too busy with a quadrillion things. They're pressuring her in the job. I told you what's going on in corporate America. It's happening to everybody. And she's right in the middle of it. And she just couldn't squeeze out enough time to come and get the turkey. Now I'm stuck with it. So I got to go downstairs and cook up a turkey later today. Like, that's the last thing in the world I want to do on a Sunday. So anyway, I don't know. I might wait and put it in the oven tonight. I'm just not sure how I'm going to handle this. I might do it tonight. I don't know. Let me think it through. Yeah, but anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. No deal with Zelensky, tells President Trump that he flatly refuses the United States peace plan and will never again. Hold on. Let me stretch this out. See if I can read the whole thing. Yes. And will never sign any minerals deal. Well, just a couple of days ago, might have been yesterday, Trump was over. I don't know where. Was it the Vatican? Or possibly. But he essentially grabbed Zelensky by the arm, and Macron from France was trying to push his way in. And Trump, you know, literally grabbed a hold of Macron and said, beat it. Get away. And I saw it on a film and on a video. And Trump was literally less than a foot away from Zelensky, leaning in toward him. Now, what was he saying? I don't know. I have heard so many different variations on a peace plan that they were supposedly put together. Every single one that I've ever heard thus far had conditions on either side that nullified the plan. They all said, no way. No way we're going to do that. Now, I've heard one recently, supposedly from the Trump camp, that would match everything that Putin thinks he should get, which he should. Okay. And if they take that one, but what does it all mean in the grand scheme of things? Does it change anything? Does it change it that the European Union is planning on throwing billions of dollars into the hands of a man who we already know is a crook and owns multiple multi-million dollar mansions, and his wife is driving around in a car that's worth more than half of Florida? I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that's going on. We're all sitting around watching it happen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So there's that. All right. I'm going to go ahead and click that off. Oh, goody, goody. All right. Next one up is, if you go to tribulationnow.com, two ends in the middle, tribulationnow.com, you will see a new post I think it shows Trump placing some sort of an argument with other, you know, folks, you know, talking about something as the main picture. Now, that's not important, because what's really important is that that's a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of really cool clips that you ought to see. Folks, there's one of them is an outstanding film of a giant on the top of a mountainside in Brazil. I'm telling you, you can look at that thing 30, 40, 50 times, and there will not be a question in your heart that you just saw a being that looks exactly like a human and has got to be at least 50, 60, 70 feet tall. And everybody's staring at it. Now, is it AI? We never know nowadays, do we? We got AI for everything. That's what I try to warn people so much, because folks are coming to me with all kinds of, and they're so excited because, what's his name? Elon Musk's little son is out there preaching Jesus. And I'm like, do you even know if what you're looking at? Is that artificial intelligence? Have you seen what they can do with AI? Most people haven't. They don't really know. They haven't even seen the large collections of people pulling masks off their faces. They don't really know. So what happens is people get out there and they're like, wow, look at all of these Christians rallying around Elon Musk's son. He's preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing joy to the Lord. But they're not really considering what they're looking at. If it's AI of a devil doing the devil's stuff, okay, and I'm not saying the kid's a devil. What I'm saying is his father's definitely part of the demonic plan. He wears outfits that have Baphomets on them. This whole group is very satanic. The very allegiances that are associated with the administration of the United States of Babylon the Great over in the Middle East, it's all about Kabbalah. It's all about some of the darkest black magic that this world has ever seen. Is unbelievably powerful and most horrific. All right, now all that being said, we got it clamping down on Christians from all directions, not only prophecies, not only Bible, not only threats from the president himself and parts of his cabinet and everything else under the sun. And oh my gosh, you could do a 5-hour show on this one subject. So if you want to see that giant and a whole bunch of other really cool videos that I snipped down, it's just like it's a collage. Definitely take a look at that article. It'll keep you busy for all of about 15 minutes, and it's like, you gotta be kidding me. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Also, the Iran army to the Pakistan border has been a big... Okay, so let me just summarize what's going on with all that. So what ended up happening was there was what India is calling a major terrorist attack. They are absolutely positive it came from Pakistan. There is a region along their border known as Kashmir. And it's beautiful. And they fight over it, and they fight over it, and they fight over it, and they fight over it. And then Indians lob shells over into Lahore, Pakistan, and it's back and forth all the time. Well, this time, a lot of people died. And India is angry. And now we got, Indian aircraft carriers that are being relocated. Evidently, a B-2-something, bomber of the United States has been moved over to India. The things that are happening, the readiness right now that is taking place along Pakistan and India right now. And India is now our best friend. Okay, they're our buddy. There's only one other country that we're more friendly with. Don't get me going. But anyway, the point of the matter here is India is our new best friend. Okay, so under that dynamic, the United States, you can expect, is going to send all kinds of help over to Taiwan, all kinds of help over to the Philippines, all kinds of help over to India when there's any kind of a threat there, all kinds of help over to the Middle East. We know where that will go and how the channels are, and it's just never ending. So all these things are moving forward, but there's more of it. So we got India and Pakistan truly on, a war footing. They are literally, and then to top it all off, India did the unthinkable and they cut the water supply at this major dam, and I forget what the name of it is, Kir or something, I forget, but whatever, it's irrelevant to me. I don't care about the name of the plant, the dam, but it's a big hydro dam, and they cut the water supply, which, by the way, is the primary water supply of 80% of the water of the entire country of Pakistan. So they basically cut off, essentially, all the water to Pakistan. Now, Pakistan came right out and said, that is an act of war. So they're at war, technically, as far as the world is concerned, as far as the paperwork is concerned, as far as the armament is concerned, as far as the allies are concerned, they are at war right now. Right now. Okay, and then I just got wind, although I don't know who to believe nowadays, you know, so much AI out there, but there's a report, right or wrong, that India had flipped the lever again, opened up the dam, and drowned out, flooded an untold number of parts of Pakistan going up the river bed all the way, who knows for how many miles up. The implication was that a lot of people were killed, murdered by India by doing that little trick of reopening the dam suddenly. Praise God. All right. So if you were to skim over my finally to Twitter feed, what you would find is an awful lot of chitter chatter about these things. All right. So, you know, about what's going on between Pakistan and India. There are also a lot of reports, but they're back and forth in there. It's like a ping pong ball, right? Boing, 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 more like a Super Bowl, and you whip the Super Bowl, and it's just bouncing off the ceiling and everything, because that's the nature of the way media becomes when you're at war. And we're right in the middle of it right now, for sure. No doubt about it. Praise God. All right. So you're going to see a lot of information out there about Iran, Pakistan fighting each other, the United States chipping in, Israel chipping in, the whole deal. Don't get me going on all the stuff with Yemen, because that has not ended at all. Several very powerful missiles were launched against Israel from Yemen. I think it was just last night. All right. So, back into the military. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth apologizes for the COVID vaccine mandate. And he's making a plea to all the military people that voluntarily stepped down from their position in the military and just walked out into the street and said, we're done with it. Hegseth is going, no, we didn't mean it. Come on, guys, come on back. Let us sacrifice your body for our end times, ushering in of the Antichrist and the chopping up of the red heifer and all that stuff. Please come back, guys. Anyway, Lord, in the name of Jesus, please count us all worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Jesus, come for us. All right, let's see. So there were unbelievable, deadly, huge missile attacks coming from Russia into Kiev, even to a point where Donald Trump on Twitter had sent out a message, you know, Vladimir, stop it, you know, trying to say, you know, stop killing people, you guys, give us some time to work out a peace deal kind of a thing. So anyway, what's happening with that? I don't know. And you know what? I don't care, because I already know what the end game is. I already know that we're heading into World War III. I already know exactly how World War III is going to go down. We've got multiple prophecies that are coming out. Thank you, Jesus, that say that, believe it or not, he's going to be removed with a great destructive event. Boy, that sounds, like I said, like an explosion of some kind, doesn't it? I wonder how close it'll be to, you know, that TV series, right, with Kiefer Sutherland. Designated survivor. Wow. Talk about hitting the nail on the head. If that kind of an event happens, then I'm going to flip out, because I've been saying that for well over 10 years, I'm pretty sure. $54 trillion in debt. Right now, they have done an analysis on the United States money. And the way that we're supposedly trying to make it up through tariffs, which is really tearing down Cambodia, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, all these countries, the people have no work. There are American countries that need supplies from China. And their bill was originally like, you know, $50,000. And now the bill is $250,000. And these people are small businesses. And they're going, how are we supposed to survive? These tariffs have shut us down. These are Americans that are crying out for help. But I've been telling everybody about that on the program now for a really, really long time. Okay, the current tariffs on Cambodia, Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam are 3,521%. I'm not going to comment on that, because if I do have to comment on that, then a person does not have a true understanding of what this stuff all means. All right. Judge Napolitano makes an announcement of great concern that a person that is ex-IDF has joined the National Security Council in Trump's group. Also, there's Jeffrey Sachs out there. Once again, I mentioned this to you. It says, if you take your credit card and you go shopping and you run up a large credit debt, you're running a trade deficit. So what he's saying is that what Donald Trump is doing through these tariffs is he's nullifying money that the United States owes these other countries already, which, of course, is a type of an act of war. I forget who it was who said that the Red Dawn series was about China coming back to the United States to collect a debt. All right, and all it goes back and forth and back and forth. There's a guy by the name of Leo Zagami, L-E-O-Z-A-G-A-M-I. L-E-O-Z-A-G-A-M-I. Put that together as one word and type in leozagami.com. He's getting ready to release a book, all right, on that. So take a look at leozagami.com. He's getting ready to release a book on what he believes the destiny of the papacy is. He believes that Francis is, in fact, the last pope, but they're going to bring in a progressive, which means homosexual almost always, black pope, very temporarily. Just very temporarily, because what they're doing is they're getting rid of the papacy, according to Leo. Leo is the author of about 12, 13, 14, 15 books. So I would submit that he's probably got all the citations in the whole wide world to be able to make his point, and his point is probably highly valid. But he believes that Francis was the last pope, that the last pope is dead. They're going to bring in an interim, just a very highly temporary progressive pope, and that they're going to eliminate the papacy. He believes that's how far along we are in all these things. I don't trouble my heart over these things at all, because I am praying always to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before Jesus. And I hope with all of my heart you are too.